Good evening, good morning, depending on when you listen to this. Welcome back, college basketball fans to Hoops HD's continuing 2018-19 conference previews. This is our West Coast conference preview that we are recording the same evening as our American, our Atlantic 10, our Mountain West previews. They're all up there on the website. Watch them all at the same time. It's great entertainment. I'm Chad Sherwood, John Salica below me, John Titel and David Griggs off to the side.
Woo-hoo, yes.
And we are here to talk West Coast Conference. If you watched our Mountain West review already, you heard that it was all about one team only. And this may be the same exact thing. David?
Yes.
Gonzaga. We asked the last podcast about Nevada. Gonzaga, I'm hearing this is a Final Four team again this year.
I think that it is a Final Four caliber team. I think it's a one seed caliber team, not just a protected seed, but a one seed. They are extremely deep. They are extremely experienced. They might even be better than the team that went all the way to the national title game 2 years ago. I think they're ranked third or fourth to start the season, depending on which poll you go by, the AP or the coaches poll, and they're not underranked. And basically, I think this conference gets one bid, and it's them. And I think that's all the time we have for the West Coast.
That might be it. John Titel, let me bring you in here. Let's go beyond Final Four contender. Is this a national championship contender?
Yes. I don't know if it's better than the team that made the title game and almost won it a couple of years ago. I think that transfers are going to be the big key, especially in the backcourt. You got Geno Crandall coming in from North Dakota and Brandon Clark coming in from glorified D2 school, San Jose State. So when you put these guys on this team that's already got Perkins, Tilly, Hachimura, Norvell, they already have like a solid starting five. So you try to figure out if there's anybody who can do it. I'm not going to pick against Coach Few. The guy is one of the best coaches actively in Division I in terms of one loss percentage. He's been there 20 years. He makes the tournament every year. He wins the conference every year. If he can integrate these new guys with the existing guys, because I don't think Gonzaga is known for having a ton of transfers over the past two decades, but he's got legitimate scoring guards that he can put with this team. If he can do it, I think they can play with anybody in the country. Stalika, how's their schedule looking this year? I think it's pretty impressive.
Well, as far as their schedule, they're going to be part of the Maui Invitational. On their side is going to be Illinois and either Arizona or Iowa State. But once that finishes, they're going to go on the road to Creighton, which is never easy. They're going to host Washington in their cross-state rivalry, have a neutral court game against Tennessee, and also have a game at North Carolina, which I think is going to be part of a home-and-home.
I think that is, yeah.
Yeah. Titel, let me ask you this. You said not that much of a history with transfers. Didn't they have a guy from Cal that was on that 2017 national championship team that transferred over?
Sure. It's not that they've never done it, but they're not like Nevada, who has like starting five and a backup five of transfers. Like, they usually have these homegrown guys like Adam Morrison and stuff. But the fact that Few's willing to bring in these guys, because he realizes it's 2018, everybody does it, even the power teams and the power conferences. The fact that the other teams in the conference have lost so much and weren't at Gonzaga's level, I think that it should be easy for them to coast in conference play again, maybe go undefeated in conference play. But like John said, like, this is not just a decent schedule. It's like one of the hardest schedules in the country, I think, for the first 30 days of the season with all those amazing teams he just mentioned.
And I think the other welcome news for Gonzaga is that Geno Crandall is going to be eligible from the get-go, because there was some questions around the start of the summer because he was still trying to complete his degree requirements from North Dakota. But my understanding is last week he actually started graduate classes at Gonzaga, so he is now listed on their website as far as their roster.
Well, so Salika, let me ask you a question here. What Titel's mentioned is how difficult that early schedule is. But when you look at it, you know, can Gonzaga be a one seed? We do have to look at the entire schedule. And when you look at the entire schedule, it may not end up being a weaker schedule than an ACC schedule because you have all these games against the Pepperdines and Loyola Marymounts of the world.
Well, another thing we have to keep in mind starting this year, the West Coast Conference has actually reduced it to a 16-game conference schedule, so they're not going to be playing the dregs of the conference, not all of them, twice a year. This was one of the concessions that the WCC actually made to make sure Gonzaga did not jump ship to the Mountain West.
And Chad, a couple – that is a good point, especially with this year's committee. I don't know how much big they are in the numbers crunching as much as they are into being impressed by wins. But the one thing about this Gonzaga team, because they're in the West Coast Conference – and because they start off with such a hard schedule, I think by the time we get into February, they're going to be – they have a legitimate shot at being ranked number one simply because of the ballooning. Like everybody else from the other conferences will be challenged and maybe knocking each other off. If they end the season ranked number one or number two, how are they not on the one line?
And I agree with you. Unless they really stumble out of the gate here in some of these non-conference games. They get those marquee wins and they run through the West Coast Conference. You're right. As other teams fall down, they're going to move up. Tytel, let me bring you back in here. Is there anybody else in this conference that could potentially challenge for an NCAA tournament bid?
I don't think St. Mary's will, just because when you lose a guy like Jock Landale, it's not impossible to replace him, but it's going to be damn hard because he was so amazing. I like BYU only because they have such a veteran team. Bijan, I'm shocked that the Mormon school brings back a bunch of, 24-year-old men. I get it, but they bring back T.J. Hawes. They bring back Nick Emery, who had to withdraw from school because of an NCAA investigation, but I believe he's back now. Yes. They bring in McKay Cannon. They bring in Yoli Childs, who had a double-double in the NIT last year. Dave Rose has a lot of pieces to work with who are veteran guys. I don't know if they're going to win 25 and upset Gonzaga or anything, but I think 20 wins should be easy, and I think that they can bypass St. Mary's and really be a strong number two seed.
Yeah, I mean, if Elijah Bryant had come back for this team, I think that this would have been a tournament-caliber team. But Childs, I think the dark horse player of the year in the conference even, especially if the Gonzaga guys knock each other off. This is a guy that could average 20 points and 10 rebounds a game at the end of the season for this BYU team. But Stalica, what about this St. Mary's team that won 28 games last year and couldn't get in the big dance?
Well, the ironic thing is they actually schedule a team that's shooting for an at-large, but they may not have the personnel to do it.
Everything backwards.
One of the graduate transfers they're going to be looking forward to is Aaron Menzies out of Seattle, who I think was averaging around 11 points and 9 rebounds a game. It is going to be a big step up from the WAC to the West Coast Conference. Yeah, that is something I think he will be able to handle.
All right. Actually, David, I have a team here. A team that I'm a little bit high on this year, even though they had some head coaching issues at the end of the season, over in San Diego. A lot of pieces back from a team last year, and I think the Toreros are a team on the rise here.
Well, they can certainly score. They don't always play the best defense in the world, but yeah, I do think they're trending up. What was their head coaching issue?
Yeah, well, they got Sam Scholin now after it was Lamont Smith who dismissed from the team after an allegation of some domestic issues. Yeah,
right. Yeah, so I wasn't trying. I actually forgot about that. I don't know. I've been drinking too much or something. But yeah, they do have a lot of pieces back, and sometimes when you lose a jackass as a head coach, it kind of relaxes and refreshes everything, and maybe that's not a detriment. It may have been addition by subtraction, and they might even be better for it. I like this Toreros team too. I was kind of surprised that they jumped out at you as well. I don't think that they're Gonzaga or BYU good, but I think that there's certainly a team that's improving within the conference. And I'll give you another one. Again, not an NCAA and maybe not even an NIT contender yet, but what about the Dons?
Tytel, what about the Dons? Do you think there's anything coming up there in San Fran?
I like Kyle Smith, the former Ivy League guy. I like that they made the CBI title game but couldn't get it done. I like the senior leadership, Nate Renfro and the legendary Frankie Ferrari. Great name. They have some Australian blood trying to be like St. Mary's and Matt McCarthy, a senior power forward. A lot of nice pieces. I like Coach Smith, and I like that they're getting into the postseason and winning games once they get there. So I don't think this is a tournament team. They might squeeze out 20 wins only because I think that there's a lot of winnable games in the conference this year. But I think it's back to even if they do a second-tier postseason tournament, but they've shown they can win games once they get there.
Yeah, they have. And Kyle Smith, ex-Ivy League head coach there for you. I know you. Stalika, how about Pacific with Damon Stoudemire? Maybe I should ask Ty Tell about him, but I throw her through to you.
Well, this is another team that's quietly been improving from, four wins 2 years ago up to a 500 record in the West Coast Conference. They actually have some decent returning talent as far as Jaleel Tripp, Roberto Gallinat, Kendall Small, Anthony Towns, and Lafayette Dorsey. Now, how much of a move they're going to be able to make this year remains to be seen, but keep an eye on them next year because they'll also be free of NCAA sanctions that took place under a previous coaching regime where they sat out the 2016 postseason and also had their own scholarship reductions to deal with. So next year they will have a full scholarship roster for the first time under Damon Stoudemire.
And David, we do like to mention all the teams in these podcasts. So very quickly, Loyola Marymount, Portland, and Santa Clara will all be playing basketball this season, supposedly. But I do want to throw one last team over to you. Pepperdine.
Yes.
Lorenzo Romar's return.
Lorenzo Romar back in the conference. He and Mark Few, great buddies, great pals. This is well documented. If I were the West Coast commissioner, I was trying to look up who he was so I could – name him and sound smart, but every like convention, everything, I would put the two of them next to each other at every single meeting, at every single meal, everything. Pepperdine is going to be terrible, but who the hell isn't going to watch that Gonzaga Pepperdine game just because of those two?
That could be a very interesting, very fun game to watch just for the sidelines, even though it's going to be about a 50-point Gonzaga blowout. On that note,
I can't do that story justice. We'll have Rocco dissect that later in the year when they are playing because it is amazing.
On that note, I want to run through each of you. I'm not even going to ask you who's going to win the conference. It's a given. It's Gonzaga. But I'm going to ask you two questions. One, who is your conference player of the year? And two, do you see any chance of a second bid coming out of this league other than a crazy upset in the conference tournament? For me personally, I am going to go with Childs out of BYU as my conference player of the year as the Gonzaga guys split the vote. And I do not see a second bid. I think Gonzaga wins all the conference regular season games and runs through the tournament. But Stalika, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with Chad in that it probably will be Gonzaga and only Gonzaga this year, but I'll probably say Hachimura out of Gonzaga gets a Player of the Year honors with Crandall not too far behind.
Titel.
I think BYU has a prayer of getting a second bid from this conference, but it's a prayer, and luckily they know how to pray. As far as a pick, sorry. Childs is a great pick. I think it's going to be somebody on Gonzaga, although it's interesting. We talked about with the Mountain West how it might be the Wyoming kid, Justin James, because the Nevada guys are going to split the vote. So I could see this happening there. I'm going to go with Killian Tilly only because Hachimura is a great pick, as is Norvell, as is everybody else on the team. Tilly seemed to get a lot better as the season wore on. I believe he was conference tourney MVP. Arguably the best French-born player in Division I. So I think it's going to be Tilly, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's any of four other guys on the Zags.
And you could certainly argue he was the most valuable because Tilly did not play in their Sweet 16 loss against Florida State because he actually got injured during practice the week of.
Good point. David?
I'm going to go with Gonzaga. Not only, I think they're the only team that's in the field, but I will say that I do think that they're good enough to end up on the one line. BYU, I just don't think that they're going to get all the way in. I do have a dark horse, though, for player of the year. I know that this is kind of out there, but I really like this guy. It is George Mason strength and conditioning coach, Andy Hendurian. As player of
once again, once again, this is the West Coast Conference preview, David. That goes up there to podcast.
Oh, that's up there. All right.
Okay. I don't know. We're through any final thoughts from each of you. And Sleek, let me start with you.
I had alluded to it earlier as far as St. Mary's schedule. This is actually the one year, I think, where they actually are trying, at least with some under-the-radar names, since they're not getting as many of the big names. They have games at New Mexico State, at home against Harvard, UC Irvine, even Bethune-Cookman, who's projected to win their conference. Also some neutral court games against New Mexico, LSU, at home against Bucknell, and the big one may be at Western Kentucky just prior to the beginning of the WCC starting up.
Hope they're good. Yeah.
Tytel.
Do you remember growing up and, like, you'd go to summer camp and they'd have, like, a parents' day, or you go to college and they have family weekend where the people that you love come back to visit you? I wish BYU would do this only just so we could see this amazing basketball game. So they got Nick Emery. His brother Jackson holds the school record for career steals. You got TJ Hodge. His brother Tyler is the all-time leading scorer in BYU history. His dad Marty was an all-conference player at BYU back in the WAC era. I wish we could have the current players against their relatives game at BYU. That would be amazing.
Well, you want to talk about growing up. Let me throw my final thought out there is, I remember growing up when you talked about Gonzaga, that was just that school with a funny sounding name. And that's all we really discussed. I mean, yeah, they had a couple good teams, but we are now sitting at a point here where the Zags have made 20 consecutive NCAA tournaments. The players on these teams, the players are going to be playing against, have never even been alive when the Zags were not in the tournament field. And that is just unbelievable what Mark Few has done. I guess give Dan Munson a little bit of credit there at the very beginning, but Mark Few has done with this team out there and made them into an absolute national powerhouse that I really think has a great chance of being, of cutting down the nets and going all the way this year with what they've got. But David, let me let you finish things out for the night.
Well, based on that, rather than my own thought, I'm going to build on that a little bit. They didn't, they really weren't good before that. They'd only been the one NCAA tournament ever before all of that, if I'm not mistaken. And you're right, it's just the staying power. And 20 years ago, it wasn't, they weren't like one of these teams like a Wichita State where they were, or even a Xavier in their A-10 days, where they were a good mid-major winning 25 games. They were a middle of the pack West Coast Conference team, about on the same level as Cal State Bakersfield or somebody like that. So for them to come completely, you know, rise out of the Phoenix like that to become a national power is pretty amazing. That it's never really been done other than maybe by Butler, a program that has come that far that fast and stayed that good. It's pretty incredible. Well,
yeah, and I'd argue that what they've done is way better than what even happened at Butler. Yeah. But on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for all four of these podcasts. I am Chad Sherwood, along with David Griggs, John Tytel, John Stalica. We will be back again later on this week with our 8-hour Southland preview. I think that's what's up next, David.
Yeah, the 8-hour Southland preview.
All right. So we'll talk to you all again real soon.